Hello and welcome to Argue the Toss from GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm Drew, and together we're arguing about the things really matter in game.
Indeed we are.
Yeah, quite a few games today.
We are. Because there is, like, for a while we've been talking about films and Star Wars and TV and everything. Now we are, like, we have a lot of games to cover today.
Yeah, we're recording this after the PlayStation Experience event, which was yesterday, where there were quite a few interesting things dropped. I think a lot of people will agree.
It was like a sort of explosion. Yeah. A-bomb of great stuff, basically. Yeah.
And a couple of days ago, there were the Game Awards as well, with announcement trailers, which were also quite interesting. It's been a very sort of trailer-rich couple of days.
It has. It's a really weird time of year for, like, big announcements to come. But, PlayStation, pretty much, they're almost all PlayStation exclusives.
Yep.
Have just taken over the internet, really, with some great reveals. So, what are we going to start with, Drew?
So, the biggest one, I think, The Last of Us 2, The Last of Us Part, as they're calling it.
Massive, massive surprise, basically, from Naughty Dog.
I'm not sure it was that surprise.
Get that right pre-Christmas 2016.
All right, yeah,
as opposed to, it's not E3, it's like, I'm really surprised.
Fair.
I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about that because I hadn't seen the trailer. Because I always felt that The Last of Us was such a complete story, and I like a story with an ambiguous ending. I thought they ended it really well, and games rarely end really well, but I thought that game ended beautifully.
Yeah. This is being billed as part two, but the first one really didn't feel like a part one. It felt that's it. That's the extent of what we're doing with these characters. Leave it there.
Yeah.
And that ambiguous ending is so good because it just kind of leaves you in a just slightly hollow inside in a good way. You
know,
it fits in with the world in that, okay, there are no sort of happy endings here. There's no resolution to be had.
Yeah.
This is what the world is.
And it also gives a sense that, with, like, say, my favourite books, one of my favourite books is Secret History by Donna Tartt. And when I finished that book, I really missed the people and I wanted to know what they're doing tomorrow and what they're doing next week. Mm-hmm. And that ending really made me feel that they are living a life that goes on without me even once the game has ended. They kind of just turn away and kind of walk, you know, without walking into the sunset because, you know, the world is shit.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of it for me. I'm not actually kind of all that interested in the next step of the relationship between Joel and Ellie. I felt that was pretty well covered in the first one. Like, it was the entire focus of the game. That arc had an end.
That's always been my worry about the rumors of The Last of Us 2. When you said that they announced it, I was just like, they had better have a bloody good story to tell.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Neil Druckmann, who is, I'm not sure what his role is, he's one of the creative leads for the game, I don't know if he's a writer, but he's come onto Twitter and just said, yeah, trust us on that, we've got a good idea, and done this, we didn't have a good idea for it.
I think that's the only thing we can do, is just trust Naughty Dog that, you know, they do have that sense of...
Yeah, but, I mean, even if they do, you know, the thing is, I'm being a bit negative about this, but it's probably going to be a brilliant game. I don't think anyone's going to actively bet against Naughty Dog making good games. They're you know, what, 6-for-6 now in the last six games they've made, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I just, like, even if they've got a great idea for this, I wish they'd have done something different instead of, turning their single best standalone work a franchise. Hey, what are you going to do, not buy it? I don't think it's really possible to show the aftermath of an ending that was intended to be ambiguous and not cheaped in.
Yeah, that's exactly the word I was going to use, was, you know, there is a huge risk that they will cheapen the conclusion of the last game. That said, the trailer looked fantastic. It had a really great mood, and, like, the trailer I watched had all the crowd sat sounds, the audience sounds from the expo or whatever it was, from the auditorium.
That's happening,
and it was nice because, you know, this guy comes walking into the room, you know, she's playing the guitar, this mournful song about not being right or something because you're wrong and all, or whatever it was, mournful lyric. And then this guy is in the doorway and you can't see who it is, and it's like, I think those are Joel's shoes, I'm not sure, did he used to have a turn up? And then you see his kind of you don't really see his face from the front, but you know, when people realize it is Joel, there's like this massive cheer in the auditorium. And I did feel a thrill of seeing them together again.
I wish they'd do it with different characters, is what I want from a Last of Us sequel, if there has to be one. I want to see another story told in that.
Which is kind of the nice thing, you know, sort of jumping ahead to something else we're going to talk about, which is the Uncharted DLC. You know, they kind of did that. We didn't see Nate, which I really liked about that. I mean, they could have told stories from that world with two different people. I don't know. It did look beautiful, though. I mean, the textures on that guitar were incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that shot of the guitar, and it had like slight chips, and you could see the grain in the wood, and you could see the sort of, oh my God, it was just, that was the most beautifully rendered guitar I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if the rest of the game is rendered to that fidelity, which obviously,
It looks beautiful, and she looks older. Something dark has gone on. You know, it looks even more depressing, if that's possible, than the first one. She's sitting in a blood bath, basically, at her own hand, and it's obviously some revenge story.
Yeah. I mean, all the discussion is about who they're having revenge against. It's told that it's going to be the Fireflies, and
so that symbol is the Fireflies, isn't it?
It is. That's the thing that's sprayed on the sign. Like,
so
convinced that means anything specific. Obviously, that the Fireflies exist in The Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
And even if they didn't, their symbol would still be around.
Yeah, but it was in that house specifically where she's killed. So it's either people masquerading as the Fireflies, or that's one of their bases and she's hunting them down for some reason. But is the reason that she's hunting them down the fallout of the lie that Joel told her?
It could be. Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, so I mean, we could speculate any which way on this.
Yeah, so he's got some serious blood on his hands, and is kind of trying. I mean, that would be a real tension to maintain throughout the story.
I'm actually wondering if Joel's going to end up being the villain of the piece. Because the fallout of that.
Heartbreak.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way that if anyone hasn't played the Walking Dead season 2, there's some minor spoilers here, but that's the way that the second series of The Walking Dead was, that it took a character from the first game who had been an ally in that game and made them into an enemy. It did it more subtly like that.
That would be so sad.
Sorry?
That would be so sad.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I mean, it's been announced that you'll be playing as Ellie rather than Joel. So there's definitely room for it.
God.
I think whatever happened, Joel's going to die. I can't see many ways out of it that don't
end. No, because I mean, when I saw the body on the floor, I was like, oh my God, is that Joel?
She had
to kill him or something. That's the first thing I thought. I think from a narrative point of view, I think he does really have to die.
Yeah.
Oh, bad.
Or maybe not. Maybe they'll keep him alive and we'll get The Last of Us 3
with
Joel and Ellie. The final chap.
Oh, yeah, because these things always have to go in threes ever since Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
So, so that was The Last of Us 2. It looks really nice, and it's nice to be back with them.
Yeah, I'm not convinced.
And it looks harrowing.
Well, yeah.
I'm already feeling bummed out.
There's no point lying about it. I'm going to buy it first day. I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
I'm going to love it, but I still don't think it to exist.
No, it's kind of like having a sequel to Casablanca.
Yeah, or The Godfather.
Okay, so that looks like it's 2018 for Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
Naughty Dog. Yes, all exclusive, I think. Yeah, Naughty Dog is. So number two on our list of, this isn't so much a bombshell, but sort of long awaited and a bit overdue, really.
Yeah.
Some more information about Mass Effect Andromeda.
Speaking of sequels, I wasn't entirely convinced we needed.
Sorry, no.
I'm being very bitch.
Yeah, because this is a new slate. Yeah. So surely in the world of sequels, this is the kind of sequel you like. One that's taking...
I mean, maybe so, but like for all that talk of it being a clean slate, new and alien galaxy, it does look pretty much exactly the same as the original trilogy, doesn't it? There's a lot of human Turians, there's Krogan, there's Omega, there's a Citadel. I would like the new trailer, what I was most sort of not turned off, but... okay, turned off by, was that there was a lot of stuff which just looked exactly like the original trilogy.
Mm.
Or the original game, if you include the sort of... what's the new Mako called? It's called the new vehicle.
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah. I wanted it to be more alien, I think.
Right, yeah. I think, is it the game... there was a live-action trailer as well, wasn't there? Didn't that have more alien that has the sort of new races that you come across and stuff?
I think so. I watched this new one and whatever the previous one was, the ones talking about the next.
Mm.
But yeah, I haven't that much new alien.
Yeah.
I have seen a lot of Turians and Krogan.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the live-action one they did, which had the... had a man as the main character. It was just a white, stubbly man as the sort of main character in that one.
Yeah.
And so I'm really glad that in this trailer they had a woman as the main character. Femme
Pathfinder.
yeah, the Pathfinder. And there were more aliens in the live action one, I think. You got a sense of who the main enemy is. I thought it would have been interesting. I mean, you can't tell much from this, but I thought it would be interesting if, you know, humans aren't necessarily the heroes in this one. That would be good, you know, because you're trying to find a place, your displaced people trying to find a place in the world, and I mean, it could be quite interesting because it's quite a topical issue as well, that they're basically refugees looking for a new planet to inhabit, and
I hope that stuff is not done too heavy-handedly, because there is definitely opportunity sort of on the nose.
What I'd be more worried about is that they ignore it altogether, which is what games do quite well.
Fair enough. I think it's
sort of live in a bubble where they don't have to comment on anything in the real world because it's just a game.
That's true. I think generally aren't BioWare games a bit better about that
than they
otherwise could be, I guess.
I love Mass Effect.
Yes,
I think we don't get that many kind of storytelling, much storytelling in a sci-fi world.
No, that's definitely true.
You know, if it's sci-fi, it tends to be space marines and we're just going out killing aliens willy-nilly. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to it because it gives you a chance to just walk around and be in space and... lots of cool stuff. And I really liked the kind of settlement of, you know, he said the people that have been kicked off the station and they've obviously settled, and it's a bit kind of Blade Runner-y, kind of sort of like neon and looks all a bit shabby.
Well, I mean, it looks very much like Omega from the previous trilogy, doesn't it?
What's Omega?
Is that
where the nightclub was?
The
female crime boss.
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
Alterna Citadel. Yeah. It was the Dark Side Citadel.
I suppose it is a bit similar to that. I thought stylistically it wasn't that, because it felt more open and sort of desert-like, and I thought there were some similarities to No Man's Sky, you know, in some of the landscapes and things that we saw. There were sort of like pink trees and, you know, that influences there, I think. We'll see. I think it looks good. We've got some good new powers. There's like a hover power and a sort of teleport, you know, like a blink kind of effect in combat. There's some extra stuff in combat. There's the new sort of analysis tool. So you've basically got like a tricorder.
Scan void.
Yeah, so it's almost like Star Trek in that respect. So I thought that was quite cool. And then she said something about the Garn. So that's a new alien race.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, because there was that body on the floor, and she's like, oh, there's traces of Garn blood here, but...
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, I missed that. I saw the sort of... what it reminded me was the detective segments in, like, Arkham Asylum and Arkham Knight, where Bat puts down his scan visor and starts analysing blood sample, finding clues.
Okay, yeah.
Which were really good parts of those games, so I'm looking forward to doing
that. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, the first time I watched the trailer, I was like, oh, there's a lot of combat in that, but then I thought, had a look at the timing, and it was actually 50-50. It was like the halfway point that they switched over to show the combat elements.
I think it probably feels like more, because when you play Mass Effect, it's not divided 50-50 in that respect. There is a lot less combat, and there is
role playing,
and the role playing, as always, is the stuff I'm interested in.
Mass Effect's
combat has always been, you know, functional. It's never been the most exciting aspect of that game. So this trailer didn't have that much for me in that respect, in that it showed off a lot of the combat, and I thought, okay, this just looks like, you know, sci-fi game X or
almost Halo-ish kind of
exactly.
combat
and
lots of blue light
flashing blue light and auras.
Shields and stuff.
Shield auras.
But I suppose it's hard to, and they didn't show anything about relationships and you know, that kind of element. You know, there was no there was a Guardian article this summer about why is romance not a selling point for
it was at the Kate Gray article.
I
think we mentioned that last time we were talking about
really
this. I think we mentioned it in our podcast.
But it's a really great point, because it was a really central part of people enjoyed about Mass Effect. You know, people were up in arms about, why can't I have a homosexual relationship with so-and-so? And, you know, it's like, I want to be able to shag what's his name. And, you know, it was really central. And yet they never, you know, where was that? There was no sense that there were any romances to be had at all.
No, I mean... I'm sure we're going to see some more stuff about that as the sort of cycle continues. I'm sure there will be a romance trailer or something. I would imagine that a lot of that stuff is still being written. I don't know if that would be finalised yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say about, you know, the fact that it seemed combat heavy, and I was going to say it's probably because there's lots of stuff that's still in development, or they don't want to expose too much of the story and stuff like that, but... It would nice have been just to have a scene, I don't know, two people having a cup of coffee or something. whatever the Krogans drink.
Prune juice? No, that's Klingons.
Just to have like just a hint of
romance. You know, finish up the combat, and you know, they take off their helmets and just have a brief kiss and then move
exactly, to say yes, there will be romance, that's all we need.
Again, it's a BioWare RP, that stuff in there, and it's gonna be better than what other time
was. It would just be nice if they kind of wore it proudly.
I think they're more likely to do that with a game like Dragon Age rather than Mass Effect, which, you know, romance is a big part of it, but I think the focus has always been on it telling a sci-fi story.
The sort of politics type.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot more. Yeah, there's a lot more in Mass Effect that will appeal to because part of it is, you know, the romantic elements don't appeal to like everybody who plays. In fact, some of it's just the shooting.
But we always appeal to the people who like the shooting.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spring 2017. Are you still?
I'm still skeptical, unfortunately.
Okay, so when do you think it's gonna hit?
Release.
Release.
I don't know.
But not spring.
No, not spring.
What do you think? It'll be summer or like quarter four?
Yeah, the skeptic in me says quarter three.
I think, I might go with you on quarter three.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be amazing in spring. Ooh, I'd be
Yeah,
very
I,
happy.
until you said that, I didn't realize we're Target. I think,
Yeah.
but
You think that's optimistic?
I think that's very optimistic. Yeah,
BioWare, I think you need to adjust.
yeah, but they've got to write in all the romance.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so next up is
Death
Death
Stranding.
Stranding.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, I thought you would be. All the
Yeah, I
Kojima
really am.
people.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the trailer doesn't reveal all that much about what the game's going to be like, except that it's got
No.
a fantastic cast
Yeah.
and looks really weird. But
Yeah.
I couldn't be more excited now. Like Silent Hill is a friend. Like
Yeah.
this feels obviously to work. The new Silent Hill, this that got cancelled, decision never made. And this feels like okay, this is what we're going to do instead, with a spiritual successor to Silent Hill. And
Is that
yeah,
what it is? Is it a horror then?
Well, it seems like it to me. Like, yeah,
Hmm.
there's certainly horror elements in it. I don't think you'd watch the trailer and not come away with that impression. It feels like, I mean, not the same, not exactly the same sort of
Like
things that Silent Hill's come.
visceral kind of.
Yeah, it seems more, maybe less psychological and
Yeah,
more not realistic. You know what I mean? This
yeah.
visceral is probably is the way to go with it. But you know, it's got. Like Kojima's always been like philosophically, and that eventually became a detriment. I mean, in a good way. It's not that he is weird, but he does philosophical weirdness very well, and that kind of eventually became a detriment to like an increasingly unfocused Metal Gear series. But I think it's perfect for like psychological horror. It's perfect for
Yeah.
Silent Hill. That stuff done in a game which is not going to be a sort of rigidly continuing franchise.
Yeah,
It
I
it.
think that's the nice thing, isn't it? That
Yeah.
now that he's free, he doesn't have to do
Yeah.
these kind of machines,
Yeah,
sort of
absolutely.
gaming machines that just get churned out for the sake of it. I mean, I have to say, I'm interested in it. I'm not a huge Kojima fan, because I know he's made more than one game, but essentially he's made one game.
Yeah.
And I know he's very stylish and, he has a really great cinematic sensibility and all that stuff, and his games look lovely, and I like watching people play them. I didn't like watching Metal Gear, like playing Metal Gear Solid at all. And I did like Zoe.
I've never really played Zoe.
Oh, it's a great game.
No,
It's
I
a really good
remember.
game.
Well, I remember a lot of people bought Zoe just for the Metal Gear Solid 2 demo.
No, it's a good game, and I enjoyed it. But this does look interesting. It's a nice bit of storytelling in that trailer.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things, the weird tank, there's, I don't know if it's like this black sort of oil type
Yeah.
thing, there are whales dying, it seems like it might have some sort of eco message or something about the world dying, which
Yeah.
is quite a Japanese preoccupation, deservedly so, seeing as they had a bomb dropped on them that kind of proved we could kill the world if we wanted to.
Yeah.
And that's seen through manga and, all those things like Akira and things like that. Humanity's force for destruction. I mean, I was less interested when the soldiers appeared at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, oh, what is this? Just going to be like a sort of Metal Gear-y type thing with
Those
some
soldiers do
tentacles.
very strongly resemble the Metal Gear Solid 2 soldiers.
Yeah.
I was a bit worried about that as well.
Okay, yeah.
But then.
And then he took the helmet off and it all like melted and turned into Mads Mikkelsen. And,
Yeah.
it's like, oh, Mads
Yeah,
Mikkelsen.
he's getting everywhere these days.
He is. He obviously likes to be spooky.
Yeah, like I can't imagine a better actor to play a villain for this kind of Mads Mikkelsen, though. I can't wait to what he does in that part.
Yeah. I'm interested. I didn't recognize Guillermo del Toro.
No.
I was like, I know that guy from somewhere. He reminded me of the guy from Toy Story.
Oh
You
yeah,
know
what? Al. Yeah.
he's the chicken. He's in the chicken suit and steals the toys. He's a
Yeah,
mad
that's the
toy
guy.
collector. I was like, that's weird. He looks like the Toy Story guy. He's yeah. very familiar. And then it was only afterwards I was like, yeah, Guillermo.
Yeah, I was excited to see that he's still involved with Silent Hill thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's in a creative role for this one. I have a feeling probably isn't. I wish he was, because like you're always going to see some really interesting monsters. You know, he's involved.
Yeah, he's another person that, you know, everybody likes a whole lot more than I do.
Yeah.
You know, he does good monsters.
I've heard this from you before.
Yeah, I know, but he's not Orson Welles. Come on. He does good monsters.
Yeah.
So, I'm intrigued. I'm not excited.
I'm excited.
I know, the whole world is excited. I just want to see what Kojima actually does when he's free to do.
Yeah.
And, prove to me he is the auteur that everybody thinks he is.
Yeah, I mean, the risk of it is that it'll turn out that he's not that great at doing things that aren't film references in Metal Gear Solid, which is what a lot of it is. But we'll see. I'm interested to see what he draws on cinematically for this, like what the references are going to be too. But,
We will. There's not much to go on, really. Don't know what it is at all.
No.
It's interesting, but we'll see. Babies in pods.
Yeah.
So what have we got next?
There was this new standalone Uncharted DLC announced.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that was quite interesting, wasn't it?
Very fine trailer indeed. Mm.
I mean, I guess it was.
Sort of gameplay trailer, isn't it?
Yeah, I would have liked to see something that wasn't, you know, a very scriptary stealth sec. It's not really what I play Uncharted for. I understand why it was done, because it was building up to this big end.
Yeah,
I'm hoping it will, I'm sure the full DLC will be more Uncharted-like. I'm excited for this.
I'm really excited, because it's a real kind of change of tone.
Yep.
For Uncharted, because you think, okay, Uncharted DLC, we're going to have some wisecracking, we're going to have some rope swinging and, you know, all this sort of thing, and it's going to be sunshine and palm trees or whatever. Mm-hmm. But no, it wasn't. I mean, was it Pakistan or something, the setting?
It was, at the moment, I think it's unnamed.
Afghanistan? Unnamed. I think it's Pakistan by the accents, not Afghanistan, I wouldn't have said, and by the text on the shops and stuff like that. Mm. And it was quite serious tone, you know, very kind of topical, almost, you know, sort of, you know, very political setting, kind of locked down town or city in somewhere like Pakistan, sort of roadblocks and armed soldiers and, you know, a woman alone at night wandering through. So it was like, wow, this doesn't feel like Uncharted. When's Nate gonna kick down a door and wisecrack something? But he didn't. He wasn't even in it.
No, I'm wondering if he'll be in the full thing at all. I kind of doubt he will.
That's quite exciting. I'm quite excited by that prospect. So I don't know about you.
No, absolutely. And one of the things I really missed in Uncharted 4 was Chloe.
Yeah, as soon as I saw her, I was just like, oh, Drew's going to be so happy. Because last time we spoke about Uncharted, you were like, I miss Chloe.
I did. I just when Claudia Black's in things. I'm excited to see what her new story is. I'm excited to play as her. I hope you get to play as Nadine as well.
Oh my god, I'm so happy. I was just like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Because, they just, it's as if they listen to our podcasts. because they, they really gave her short shrift, I thought. Yeah. She's such a great character that was just underused. And,
I still think she gets one of the best lines or the best moments in Uncharted 4. Just right at the end. It's just, you guys can do what you like. I'm going to leave, though.
I'm just leaving. And that's one of the reasons why she's a good character, because you just, and you know, with Chloe as well, because Chloe's also a bit like that, you know, sort of self-serving when it comes down to it, kind of, she could just leave you high and dry. So the two of them together, I mean, great, it's so exciting. I just was not expecting Nadine Ross to, because I was like, who's that kicking the crap out of someone over there on that roof? And then it was her. Yeah, I'm very excited. When's that coming? I didn't notice the date. I was too busy.
2017, I think. Yeah. I don't think they were specific.
I was too busy whooping. And they've added a lockpick. That's the only thing we saw in terms of new stuff, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, and that looked like it. Like, for a lockpick minigame, that looked like a pretty good one. I like the way that's
okay. I mean, they always get on my nerves a little bit. Is it, what was it, had the lockpick? Wasn't it Mass Effect had lockpick?
No, I don't think so.
Did it have... It had digital lockpick which was annoying. They were annoying.
The first one did. I can't remember even how that worked. I know that you could just bypass it by smearing like Omni Gel by your way through any lock.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I obviously never had enough cash on me, so I was picking the locks.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one that had a lockpick? Was it?
Oh, loads of games too.
The lockpicks snap if you. Oh god.
Oh, Skyrim did that. Fallout does that.
There's a few then. Yeah. Oh, I can't remember the one that I played. And I remember endlessly.
Oh, Last of Us.
Oh yeah, it could be.
Yeah, although I think I can't. I don't think there was actually a for that one. Lockpick. No, it was Shiv.
Yeah. But anyway, so I was just like, oh no, really.
Yeah,
it depends how they'll be used, I guess.
It looked fine. It looked really so. It looked like one of those mini games where you do have to be active and you do have to be paying attention to it. And it looks like it's going to take place in, you know, sections where time is a factor. So hopefully that will, you know, a nice tense thing.
And that doesn't just get annoying and become a reload thing. But that's really exciting. And anything else to say on Uncharted?
No, there wasn't like much revealed about you know, how it's going to play.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's going to be a new multiplayer component with it as well. I didn't really spend much time with Uncharted 4. I mean, ideally, what I want is for a co-op.
That would be cool. Yeah. But yeah, I'm very excited to play with the women of Uncharted 4.
Yeah. I'd phrase it differently being a boy, but sounds weird if I say it like that.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to play with Chloe the women and Nadia.
Play through a story featuring the women of Uncharted 4. Yes, precisely.
That's exactly. What I'm excited.
Yes. And the last one we're going to cover is...
Yeah, this was a real surprise.
Yeah.
Not expecting this to come. They announced Ni No Kuni, Revenant King, the subtitle.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that is weird. Looks good. Looks fine. Looks really great. I didn't.
The first one looked. I mean, it was a gorgeous game. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to the end of it. I got a bit bored.
No, I got through. I don't know, the first 3 or 4 hours of it. You know, it was gorgeous. I just didn't have the time for an hour at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't see any Studio Ghibli style cutscenes in the trailer. I don't know if they're involved.
There was the scene where they were looking over the meadow or whatever it was, and you know that Studio Ghibli style breeze. You know that sort of like optimistic breeze that blows through their films. So they did have one of those scenes where they were looking and the music was swelling and stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're involved again.
No.
It looked gorgeous. Yeah. But it looked kind of like Ni No Kuni. I didn't know that was just such a massive... Was it? It's just a surprise.
Yep.
There was huge anticipation for it, and I think it sold really well. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was an okay game. I enjoyed it. But I wouldn't say I was burning for a sequel.
No, I wasn't massively hooked by the first one. I think given more time with it, I would have been. I can see that being one of the games where, you know, you get halfway through and you're really invested now, which is often the case with sort of Japanese RPGs. It takes a while to them, and then once you do, you're like, okay, I'm hooked on this, I'm going to play this very much.
I think I got halfway through and just burnt out.
Yeah.
I suppose I just can't take any more. I did get quite far.
Yeah.
I only got halfway through.
I got up to like Ding Dong Dell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Not no, I got a lot that. Further than that.
Didn't get into the story.
Oh, okay. No, it's good. And you go to some good places and meet some weird people and stuff. Yeah, it was a good game. I'm just sitting reminiscing now. How much I actually liked it. I might give that a look.
Yeah, if I do, I'm going to have to play the first Fortune My Neck in JRPGs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pokemon, Final Fantasy 15,
yeah.
God knows what else. But yeah, Ni No Kuni also one of the few games that had a Welsh character front, so I've
got that's right. Credit for that. Drippy.
Yeah, Drippy, sounding very much like Rod Gilbert.
I think I voted him male character of the year that year.
Quite right.
in the Gen Game Award.
Yeah.
Game of the Year Awards. So, yeah, I thought he was a really fun character.
Yeah.
He's great, yeah. But I think he was Welsh. It was very regionalised, wasn't it, Drippy?
It was, yeah.
I think he was different in each region, each country.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the great things I liked about that, instead of your, word your, Drippy pronounces it you were.
Yeah.
You can summon up magic fighting creatures from your heart,
that
sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that is spelled differently in the subtitles. It's just the Welsh pronunciation. It's not a different word. It's just that's how we say it. I thought.
I didn't notice that in the subtitles.
It's spelled Y-O-E-R.
Oh, really?
And no,
oh, really?
Just the way that lots of Welsh people say that
People
word.
Say it, that's all.
Yeah.
He was a good character. What was it he used to say? Oh, anyway. So,
we're
waffling
just reminiscing about Ni No Kuni.
Yeah, dear listeners, sorry. Do excuse us. So, yeah, that was basically the last 24 hours in the games industry. That was mega.
A lot of stuff to unpack.
Yeah, exciting. So,
none of it's coming out free except for Andromeda, which is, obviously definitely coming out in like 2 months. No, I believe it. I've had a change of heart now. I believe it.
Okay. The DLC, I'm sure that will come out soon.
What, the Uncharted one?
Uncharted. Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps. I think, they haven't announced it. A specific date, I don't think. But,
no.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that went soon.
Yeah. So.
And there was also by the way thing. They showed some footage of the Crash Bandicoot, which I'm also excited for, just because I love platform. I haven't played it brilliantly. So.
Yeah.
It's been a very good couple of days for Naughty, isn't it?
They're busy. So, yeah.
Like, what I want to see is like a new Crash Bandicoot game explore, the Bandulation Crash and Coco a little bit more.
The sort of the pathos.
Yeah. That is what you want in a platform.
Yeah. So, I think we've covered it.
I think we have.
Yeah. And, so good times are coming.
Yeah, yeah. Unspecified numbers.
Yeah. So we probably, when this one comes out, we have one more show that we're doing. We're doing a special end of the year show where we're going to pick our favourite games for the year, basically, for specific things with a game of the year each as well.
The Are You the Toss? Actually, let's try and improve on that name. But yeah, that's what it'll.
That's essentially the Are You the Toss Award.
Yeah.
So until next time, Drew.
Cheerio.
So we're gonna do the clap. 3, 2, 1.
Got it. Done. Nailed it.
Let me see my spike.
You see it?
Yeah.
Good.
Because
I did a really good clap. I don't want to have to do it. the first clap was so good and so good standalone, I don't think it needs a sequel.
No. I really don't want to do that clap again because it won't be as good as that one.
No, and it'll spoil the ending of the first clap.